Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
WRAL has learned a man who was shot and killed by a member of the Highway Patrol was wanted for murder. What we know about what led up to this shooting.
The Atlantic Coast Conference is expanding all the way to the Pacific when the three new schools will move to the conference. And the Atlantic Ocean lighting up with activity. Two new systems to tell you about. One of those actually coming back to life. I'll have the new track coming up.
A trooper who shot and killed a murder suspect early this morning in Raleigh will be placed on administrative duty. That's protocol. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. The shooting stemmed from an attempted traffic stop, which turned into a high-speed chase and shootout. Sky 5 flew over the scene in East Raleigh this morning as law enforcement agencies gathered evidence. You can clearly see bullet holes in the windshield and the side windows blown out. WRL's Chelsea Donovan will have a live report for us as she continues to press officers for information. She'll join us live from downtown Raleigh. We do want to talk about the weather, though. The storm is gone, and it's going to be a beautiful day today with highs in the low 80s and low humidity. The weather also looks good if you're headed to the beach or to the mountains.
Yeah, meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with our Labor Day weekend forecast, Kat.
It doesn't get much better than this. We start out, you know, today and tomorrow are the comfortable days, sunshine, low humidity in the 80s. And those of you who want to hold on to summer weather just a little bit longer, you've got Sunday and Monday to do that. Sunday, we're back up to 90 degrees. And for Labor Day, 95 degrees. So the heat is really back. We're not quite done with the summer weather, even though it is September now. Our muggy meter today, quite comfy. Dew points in the upper 50s. By tomorrow, low 60s. So not a big change in just how nice it feels outside today. It should be similar tomorrow. By Sunday, we begin to see the humidity going up a little bit, and we'll see more humid air and hotter air lasting into next week. Let's talk about the tropics. A lot to detail here. No imminent threats for North Carolina and no threats of any kind into the weekend aside from the rip current risk. We have Idalia, we have Hurricane Franklin, Tropical Storm Jose, but let's talk about the two new ones. GERD actually redeveloped out in the Atlantic. It's a tropical depression once again, still poses no threat to land. And as we look out in the eastern Atlantic, this is the new one that just formed within the past hour, Tropical Depression number 12, closer to the coast of Africa. The official forecast track and the first one from the National Hurricane Center has it becoming a tropical storm before weakening into remnants by the time we get to next Monday. It is not expected to pose a threat to land. The model plots in fairly good agreement that it heads to the northwest. A couple of them loop it back into some cooler waters, though. Not a big threat for us. I'll have a closer look at what to expect if you're headed to the beach this weekend coming up.
Kat, thank you. People vacationing at the Outer Banks are happy about that forecast. It is sunny there now, but that doesn't mean the water is safe. WRL's Monica Casey is live at Nag's Head. Monica, this time yesterday, you were being pelted by the rain and the wind. It looks gorgeous there today. I'm a little jealous.
This is a big improvement over yesterday. I'm actually able to smile while talking to you. It is still a bit windy, but the sun is out now. It feels a lot better out here. Although it looks very nice right now, there are no swimming signs posted all over. From Duck down here to Nag's Head and then further on to Ocracoke, there are plenty of people on the beach out here, but no one in the water. Rip currents are a big risk right now. I spoke with Elizabeth Garner, who works at the front desk at a local hotel here in Nag's Head. Her Labor Day welcome to tourists now has to include a warning about this water.
We tell them not to swim and how dangerous rip currents are, and we actually have it printed out in the office. Like, it's really dangerous to swim right now.
The state is also warning about possible contamination to coastal waters impacted by the tropical storm. Harmful bacteria may be present, and officials say they'll be testing waters as soon as possible. There is some good news for Labor Day travelers. NC Highway 12 is completely open and passable. DOT says there is some residual sand and water, so you'll want to watch for those crews, but it is safe to travel that road. People I've spoken with out here are happy that this is better than yesterday, although they can't get in the water right now. They are making the best of this start to the holiday weekend. Renee?
Look, just feeling the sand between your toes and soaking up the sunshine, that is all good for the soul. Monica Casey, live from the Outer Banks. If you're driving, the average gas price across the country, $3.81 a gallon, almost exactly where it was a year ago. California is paying a lot more than that, $5.30 on average a gallon. Here in North Carolina, the average price is $3.49. The worst time to drive today will be between now and 9 p.m. So if you haven't left yet, you might want to wait until this evening.
The ACC is expanding. The Atlantic Coast Conference is inviting Stanford, California, and SMU to join the league next year. And this will bring the league's total membership to 18 schools. Now, WRL's Brian Murphy broke this story for us this morning, joining us live in studio here to talk about what this is going to mean for the conference. And first of all, they needed to vote. They needed 12 on board there, and they didn't have it until just very recently.
Right. They needed 12 votes out of 15 schools. Notre Dame gets a full vote. NC State is reported to have been the school that flipped. Last week or a couple weeks ago, there were 11 schools that were in favor. North Carolina State is the school that flipped. Clemson, Florida State, and UNC all voted no.
So optics on this one, I tell you, East meets West here. It's Cal, Stanford, SMU, and they're coming from two Northern California schools, a Texas school. Just, you know, basically, what does it break down to? Why did they do this?
Well, the ACC is falling behind. It's falling behind in money with the SEC and the Big Ten. This is a way to claw back a little bit of that money. There's also a fear that some schools are going to leave. And when they do leave, if a Clemson or a Florida State leaves or a North Carolina, are there going to be attractive candidates out there to backfill with? Stanford and Cal obviously don't have great football and basketball programs, but they have great athletic programs and great academics. I think the president saw them as maybe the best candidates that they could get to begin to backfill if some of those other schools leave.
Also made some deals in this whole thing also to give back some of the money in a graded period of time so that can help with some of the travel and things like that logistically.
Yeah, money is really at the heart of this whole thing. Stanford and Cal are coming in at just 30% of a full share. That will move up over the next 10 years. SMU is basically buying their way into this deal. They are not taking any media rights distribution for nine seasons. We're talking about probably over $350 million there for going just to get a chance to get into the ACC.
Well, it's big money all the way around, right? Television deals and SEC, seeing what they're doing, Big Ten, seeing what they're doing. Now moving forward division-wise, you got 18 teams. Any talk about how this is all going to split up with rivalries and things like that?
You know, it's very early. This vote just happened this morning, and we haven't really gotten into the nitty-gritty of how the football schedule is going to show up. You remember they just got rid of divisions this year in the ACC, and they had three permanent rivals. That all is going to get mixed up again. One thing I'm looking for, Notre Dame plays Stanford every year. Does that game count toward their allotment of ACC games, or does the ACC add an extra Notre Dame game?
All right, Brian Murphy, bringing it to us. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
More to come, certainly. And remember, it is Football Friday. You can catch all your favorite high school teams in action tonight on WREL. Kicks off at 11:35 p.m., Renee.
Now back to our top story. A state trooper shot and killed a murder suspect this morning after a high-speed chase that started in Johnston County and came to an end in East Raleigh. This is a breaking news story we've been following all morning long. WRL's Chelsea Donovan is pressing officers for information. She joins us live near downtown with what she's learned. Chelsea.
Now I'm standing where that high-speed chase ended early this morning on Branch Street and Southeast Street. This is near downtown Raleigh. This is the field where that suspect entered and came to a fast stop. We've noticed some tire tracks here in this field. So this all started around 1 o'clock this morning on I-40 when a trooper tried to stop 20-year-old Jalen Rout, who was going over 100 miles an hour in a 70-mile-per-hour zone. That chase took troopers and deputies here into downtown Raleigh, sometimes going more than 120 miles per hour. You can see from Sky 5, Route eventually crashed in this South Raleigh neighborhood in a grassy area near this intersection of East Street and Branch Street. When authorities attempted to arrest him, though, he grabbed a gun and shot at officers. You can see bullet holes in the car from Sky 5. Troopers and the deputy returned fire, but Route was taken to Wake Med, where he later died.
When it comes to pursuits, it's always why. You know, why do people run? This person, there were active warrants for their arrest for murder. So you never know what you're dealing with.
All right, that trooper who fired those shots is Master Trooper Harrison Nizal. He's a 10-year veteran assigned to Johnston County. Per protocol, though, he's currently on administrative leave. Now, Rout is accused of murdering 17-year-old Anthony Adams in Fayetteville. That actually happened 2 years ago. Adams was killed right in his front yard as his mother looked on. You'll hear more about the victim coming up in our later newscasts.
Chelsea Donovan reporting live in Raleigh. Chelsea, thanks. You and your child can get your blood tested for lead for free in Durham. It comes as the city deals with dangerous lead levels that were found at several parks. Tests are available to anyone between 6 months and 6 years old, as well as pregnant women. Testing is available at the Durham Health Department on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 9 to 11 in the morning and 1 to 4 p.m. Next at noon, three shootings in a short period of time in Durham. Now police are working to figure out if they're connected, how many people were hit with bullets. Plus,
go, 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 go.
How an Oregon deputy escaped this gauntlet of fire.
And a new way to guide the blind. At 12:30, how robotic guide dogs could be more effective than traditional pups.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Just afternoon, blue skies out there, looking live at North Hills right now, watching WRAL News, available on Spectrum and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
Durham police are working to figure out if three shootings are connected. Two people are dead and three others hurt. Those shootings happened in Fargo Street, Holloway Street, as well as North Miami Boulevard. WRL's Ken Smith is following this story. He joins us now with an update on the investigation. Ken.
You know, Ray, what is the connection, if any? That's a key question Durham police investigators are trying to answer. All three shootings happened within a mile of each other and in the space of about 45 minutes.
One of the shootings happened here in the Village Shopping Center on North Miami Boulevard. Durham police say three people were shot here just before 5 p.m. Thursday. One victim, a man, died at the hospital. Two others, an 18-year-old and another man, are expected to recover. At almost the same time Thursday afternoon, just two blocks away on Holloway Street, police say another man was shot. He died at the scene. The third shooting happened almost 3 miles away at the Sunridge Townhomes on Fargo Street. This video from Sky 5 shows the dozens of evidence markers scattered all over the ground. One man was shot here. He is expected to recover. A juvenile was taken into custody for this shooting.
Well, so far, no arrest in the North Miami Boulevard shooting or the Holloway Street shooting. We're still working to learn the names of the victims and what led up to all three shootings. Renee.
Still so many unanswered questions. Ken, thanks. This weekend, friends and family will say their final goodbyes to Alicia Watts. She was a Moore County woman who was found dead after she was missing for months. Watts' service will be held Sunday at 2 p.m. in Owens Auditorium at Sand Hills Community College in Southern Pines. She will be buried at nearby Mount Hope Cemetery. Her boyfriend, James Dunmore, is charged with her murder. Dunmore is in jail on no bond. His next court date is on September 14th.
The Missouri man charged with shooting a teenager who went to the wrong house will stand trial. Andrew Lester is accused of shooting 16-year-old Ralph Jarl in April when the teen knocked on the wrong door while trying to pick up his siblings. Jarl was shot twice in the head and arm. Lester has pleaded not guilty to two felony assault charges. He's due back in court September 20th. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp says he will not call a special session to remove Fani Willis. Some Republican legislators want to investigate Fulton County District Attorney Willis's prosecution of former President Donald Trump and others on election interference charges. Governor Kemp says he has not seen that Willis has done anything illegal. Kemp has strongly denied claims of election fraud that were advanced by former President Trump.
More than 100 schools in England were told to shut down their buildings just days before students go back to school. The schools in question were built with a type of concrete that make them prone to collapse. So far, there's only been one failure, but that's one too many for parents. Until repairs can be made, some children will be moved to another part of the building. Others will get temporary classrooms.
It's absolutely shocking that just as schools are about to return, just as children are about to go back for the new term, that ministers announce this major problem affecting so many of our schools, but they're still not being upfront about it. They should publish that full list, come clean to parents, and make sure that all of our children can avoid this kind of disruption, that they've already faced so much lost learning. This has to be different.
According to a report from the National Audit Office, the UK's Department of Education says the concrete could be found in 572 schools across the country.
Monsoon season kicked into high gear overnight. It produced a huge dust storm in parts of Arizona. Gusty winds here knocked down tree limbs, unsecured objects. Phoenix appeared to be one of the hardest hit areas. Delayed flights, tens of thousands of customers were without power. The dust storm also caused a 2.5-hour delay in the Arizona State University Southern Utah University football game. Arizona State eventually won 24-21, finishing up the game around 1 in the morning. A deputy from Spokane County narrowly escaped a roaring Oregon road fire last month. It was all captured on his body cam. This is amazing footage. He was called to help with evacuations as that fire quickly spread. After unsuccessfully trying to convince a person to leave, he returned to his patrol car as those winds began to shift. The road, lined with trees, was just a tunnel of flames as he barreled down this road in his patrol car, fighting to survive. Fortunately, he escaped. The man he was trying to convince to leave also followed him through the flames as well, and he survived.
Jaw-dropping images of the aftermath of a dahlia along Florida's coastline. New drone video from communities just reopened shows just how brutal that Category 3 storm was when it made landfall Wednesday. Maggie Vespa shares the stories of people who live there and an update on the death toll.
This morning, in the wake of Idalia's deadly wrath, a stunning new look at coastal Florida communities utterly decimated by the historic hurricane. Entire blocks torn to shreds when the Category 3 made landfall Wednesday, with pieces of homes scattered and trucks submerged in murky water.
We didn't expect it to be this bad.
Before and after satellite photos showing the storm's destruction in Florida. President Biden, who on Thursday thanked staff at FEMA headquarters for their response to Idalia and the Maui wildfires, will survey the damage in Florida on Saturday.
To the people of Florida and throughout the Southeast, I'm here to make clear that our nation has your back.
The president's promise coming alongside a series of updates on the struggle to recover.
Seeing a lot of damage, and I'm also seeing a lot of resiliency.
Long lines growing, with families desperate for donations and supplies. Idalia downgraded to a tropical storm Wednesday night, but still wreaked havoc in Georgia and the Carolinas, leaving behind a landscape of flooded communities. Georgia officials confirming a third hurricane-related death following two fatal car crashes in Florida during the storm, according to Florida Highway Patrol.
We do have one reported fatality in Lowndes County from a tree falling on a vehicle. We're certainly keeping the family in our thoughts.
Meanwhile, images of Floridians who opted not to evacuate going viral. This man enjoying a beer in his recliner, even though his living room is flooded. For Deborah Mims in hard-hit Perry, she heard this massive tree come crashing down while she rode out the storm in her home.
Realize you do, you're stronger than you think you are. And then you walk outside and you're like, oh, wow, I made it through. I didn't, you know, die.
Really feeling for the folks in Florida. They certainly are resilient, but the recovery will take weeks, if not months or years, as we know.
A lot of people still hurting out there from that storm. We're kind of getting the reward after a lot of hot days this summer. Kat Campbell's in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Meteorological fall is right on time.
It is. It started today, and boy, it actually kind of feels a little bit like fall. It's still warm outside, but this morning had a really comfortable, crisp feel to it in Durham. I mean, just look at the bright blue sky. It is vibrant, a stunning day outside, and a stunning start to the holiday weekend. 78 degrees in Durham, the dew point, this is the good part. 56 is the dew point. And the lower that number is, the better it feels outside. And this was what's giving the air that nice, crisp feel to it. It puts us in the comfy category, or nice, on the muggy meter. That's great news for Football Friday. It's actually going to feel a little fall-like on the bleachers tonight. Kickoff temperatures will be in the mid to upper 70s. And by the time we get to 10 o'clock, temperatures should be in the mid 60s this evening. So let's talk about September in the triangle. The average high to start the month, 86, normal low is 67, but by the end of the month, fall lovers, check this out, 78 is the normal high in just a couple of weeks, and the normal low is in the upper 50s. average last 90 degree day is September 12th, and it's typically a pretty wet month for us. The average is over 4 inches of rain, but you got to keep in mind September's the peak of hurricane season, so that number is a little thrown by some of the previous hurricanes that we've seen in September. Carolina Beach today, it is bright and beautiful. Still some rough surf out there. You can see a lot of people hanging out on the beach. Carolina Beach is under a moderate risk for rip currents today. The south-facing beaches under the moderate threat, and then the east-facing beaches, that's where we have the high threat. If you're headed to the beach, you just need to pay close attention to the flags flying at the local lifeguard stands. If they are high or red, you need to stay out of the water. Moderate flags flying, you really need to still go over your rip current safety. But boy, it's going to be a beautiful weekend on the beach. Temperatures should be right around the low 80s tomorrow, trending a little bit warmer at the coast Sunday in the low to mid 80s. Should be beautiful out there. And if you're headed to the mountains, some patchy fog in the morning tomorrow. But boy, it ends up just being a stunning day. 77, the high in Boone, up to 81 in Boone Sunday, 73 on Grandfather Mountain, Asheville at 87, Highland 77. The weekend looking great. Your 7-day forecast shows big changes on the way, though, and I'll have more on our big warm-up coming up in the next half hour. Needless to say, if you like today's weather, enjoy today and tomorrow, because by the time we get to Sunday, it's 90 degrees again, and next week, all week long, it looks like high temperatures are going to be in the mid-90s, definitely taking on more of a summer-like feel. So enjoy this nice little break while you can.
We most certainly will. Kat, thank you. Coming up on WRL News at 5, a local restaurant cited for moldy cheese and roaches in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's all in this week's restaurant ratings. And tonight at 5:30, tip-over accidents involving small children and heavy furniture. They happen all the time, but they're preventable. 5 on Your Side explains the new furniture standards all parents need to know about. Well, still ahead this noon, some homeowners say they'd like to move, but now just might not be the time. Why some say they feel stuck at their current address.
Plus, you could be looking at the guide dog of the future, the technology that could allow bots to help people who are blind safely navigate the world around them. Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, an important recall to tell you about this afternoon. More than 85,000 high chairs are under recall after about two dozen reports of falls. This is the high chair here. It is made by the company Tomy. They're recalling their Boone Flare and Flare Elite high chairs. They say the bolts securing the seat can actually loosen and allow the entire seat to detach from this pedestal. The high chairs were sold through Bed Bath & Beyond, Target, Toys R Us, Amazon, and Walmart. The Flare high chairs were sold from 2008 to 2009. The Flare Elite were sold from 2008 to 2017. The company is urging people who have them to stop using them.
Michelle, thanks. Today begins a 30-day countdown to when people with federal student loans will have to start payments again. A three-year pandemic-related pause officially ends October 1st. The move will impact nearly 44 million borrowers right before the holiday season. But the Biden administration is offering new repayment options that could reduce or eliminate student debt for some. Borrowers can visit studentaid.gov to learn more and apply. ATM fees are at a record high. Using an out-of-network ATM cost people an average of $4.73 in 2023. That average is a penny higher than the previous record set in 2019. The study also shows overdraft fees are, on average, $26.61. That's actually lower than they were a year ago.
More than half of Americans surveyed say they are living paycheck to paycheck. 61% of workers said they struggled to make ends meet in July. That's up 2% from the previous year. The survey found 80% of Americans making less than $50,000 a year say they are living paycheck to paycheck. Many homeowners say they want to sell their homes, but they feel stuck. A survey says about 52% of homeowners say they want to move, but only 14% believe they can on their desired timelines. Of those who say they want to move, about a third say high mortgage rates are stopping them. Buyers are also facing a housing inventory shortage.
First humans, now dogs. How robots could soon put service animals out of a job. Plus, we're at Wrightsville Beach now, 24 hours after a dahlia. Coming up, I'll explain how lifeguards are warning beachgoers about rip current risk ahead of the holiday weekend.
And here are your North Carolina Education Lottery winning numbers.
shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Just one day after Idalia passed over the North Carolina coast, people will head to the coast for Labor Day weekend. Kelsey Coffey tells us what people can expect once they get there.
Well, if you're headed out to the beach this weekend, you can expect blue skies and sunshine. Check out the water here at Wrightsville Beach. It is absolutely gorgeous, and the sun started to come out yesterday late in the afternoon, and it seemed like the later it got, the sunnier it became. But lifeguards are still warning people about rip current risk in the aftermath of Idalia. Wes Carter with Wrightsville Beach Search and Rescue says with college students coming back to town and tourists enjoying the last few days of summer, lifeguards are expecting large crowds this Labor Day weekend.
This is what we live for. This is what we love to do. So just stoked to have everybody here. Wrightsville Beach is a wonderful place, so can't really beat it.
And just a reminder for the folks that are coming to the beach this weekend, be sure to check the flag system before you get into the water to make sure it's a safe day to swim. When you get in the water, be sure to swim near a lifeguard and always bring a flotation device. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Wrightsville Beach.
Law enforcement wants you to be careful on the roads this holiday weekend, even after Idalia is behind us. The Labor Day Booze It and Lose It campaign is underway now. Statewide, you'll see stepped up patrols watching for impaired drivers. The campaign lasts until Monday, September 11th.
Our county by county coverage takes us to Cumberland and Edgecombe counties. You can celebrate Labor Day at the Cumberland County Fair. Today, the fairgrounds at the Crown Complex opens at 5 p.m. From now through September 10th, you can come out for food, rides, music, all kinds of fun. Tickets are $10 for people 13 and older, $5 for kids. You can buy them at the gates or online at crowncomplexnc.com. You can also purchase ride wristbands for $30 per person on the Midway. Starting today, a new superintendent begins his job for Edgecombe County's public schools. Dr. Andrew Bryan served nearly a decade as Lee County Public Schools Superintendent. Under his leadership, the district launched the International Baccalaureate Program. He also worked to restore and renovate a former Rosenwald school to preserve the community's African-American heritage.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, this is some exciting news. NC train train tickets for the NC State Fair are officially on sale. The train stop is located outside Gate 2 of the North Carolina State Fair. The special train stop is wheelchair accessible as well. The State Fair, it's happening in a month and a half. It is hard to believe. October 12th through October 22nd. It's going to be such a great time.
It will be here before you know it. For people with vision loss, traditional guide dogs can help them navigate their surroundings. Now researchers overseas believe their robotic guide dog could be a better fit. Lauren Green explains the role of room mapping sensors.
In the near future, robotic dogs could replace actual canines as service animals for people who are blind and visually impaired. That's the vision of researchers at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. They're busy customizing a four-legged bot to see how well it can safely navigate people who can't see. The team outfitted the robo-dog with special room mapping sensors, which use cameras and lasers to identify its surroundings.
You can create a map on the spot and then can decide which is the best path to take to reach the target.
Those sensors are also critical in ensuring the dog reacts to unexpected objects that may cross its path.
It can avoid dynamic obstacles, like if some people or some other obstacles show up.
And while traditional guide dogs are already helping people with extreme vision loss, Swiss researchers say the pups have their limitations, citing how their robotic dog can be programmed to do specific tasks in unfamiliar places. The team also believes their technology is perfect for blind people who may be allergic to real dogs but still need assistance getting around.
I mean, for some people, they are still a good option, but they are very costly to train, and not all people want to actually have a dog.
That was Lauren Green reporting. As researchers continue working on their robot guide dogs, their invention could have real impacts across the country. Roughly 6 million Americans suffer from vision loss, and 1 million are blind.
UFO sightings have been on the rise in recent years, and now there is a new Pentagon website to provide information into these sightings. The Department of Defense says the new website is part of the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. The website will provide the public with information concerning UFOs and other unidentified aerial phenomena. The site is expected to be updated regularly as information is cleared. You can fly over to the site when it becomes live sometime this fall. The U.S. government is trying to stop an expedition planned for next year to recover items from the Titanic. RMS Titanic Incorporated is organizing this expedition. The company has the exclusive rights to salvage artifacts from the shipwreck. The government says a law protects the wreck as a gravesite, and the group needs a permit before taking anything from the wreck. The company tried unsuccessfully to recover the ship's radio in 2020.
A judge blocked a social media age verification law at the last minute. It was supposed to take effect today. This would have been the first law in the U.S. requiring age verification from new social media users and to require parental consent. Advocates for the measure say it would help protect children from online predators. But the judge says, as written, the law is not targeted to address the harms it has identified and is a burden on free speech. Teens love their energy drinks, but some doctors and parents think they shouldn't be drinking them. Why they consider them harmful to a young person's health.
And the FDA plans to ban the sales of menthol cigarettes. How many lives it could save once that ban goes into effect.
A uterine fibroid is a benign or non-cancerous growth of the muscle portion of the uterus. While common, they may cause pain and excessive bleeding and concerns about fertility and pregnancy for some. Dee Dee Steepen spoke with a fibroid specialist who says it's important to know your treatment options.
Fibroids can go undetected in many healthy pregnancies.
Depending on their size or location, they may affect a person's ability to get pregnant or stay pregnant or have a healthy pregnancy.
Fibroids are usually classified based on their location in the uterus, for instance.
A submucosal fibroid is most likely to affect a future pregnancy or affect a person's ability to get pregnant or conceive. Whereas intramural fibroids, especially if they're small, would probably have no effect on a future pregnancy or a person's ability to get pregnant.
An ultrasound or MRI may be ordered to assess treatment options.
The traditional surgery that's evidence-based for people who are wanting future pregnancy is a myomectomy.
Dr. Louis says while fibroids may complicate pregnancy for some,
fibroid specialists may be very much able to guide them to the variety of treatment options that we have, both to allow treatment of their symptoms and also to allow future childbearing if that's one of their goals.
As Dee Dee Steepen reporting, some health caregivers and parents are sounding the alarm about rising caffeine levels in some energy drinks. Some pediatricians and parents want the U.S. to ban the sale of high-caffeine energy drinks to minors. They say these drinks should be treated like alcohol and cigarettes. Caffeine side effects on kids could include rapid heart rates, headaches, and seizures. The FDA says it will finalize rules banning menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars in the coming months. The agency set a deadline of August 2023, but says it's running behind schedule. The FDA has been considering menthol regulations for more than a decade. Researchers estimate prohibiting menthol cigarettes would save up to 654,000 lives within 40 years' time. The ban would apply to manufacturers and retailers.
A celebration of African-American culture, now in its 14th year here in Raleigh. We'll tell you what you can expect at this year's event and the special kickoff concert happening tonight.
Also, talk about a flashback Friday. Marvel converts a McDonald's to look like 1982. What's behind this retro remodel and how long it'll last?
The African American Cultural Festival of Raleigh and Wake County is celebrating 14 years. The two-day festival begins tomorrow in downtown Raleigh, and WRL is a proud community partner. Joining us now to share what you can expect is Dr. Laura Bethay, the chair of this year's festival. I know it's usually on Labor Day weekend, but this year, wow, the weather. I bet you're pretty excited about that. It will draw the crowds for sure.
Absolutely, just beautiful weather in store, and we are excited that all can come out and into the fold and enjoy the festivities at hand.
So what sets this year's festival apart from ones in years past?
Well, one major adjustment we made is a move back to the main stage. So that was the heart of where the festival started over 14 years ago at this point. And so bringing it back home to the main stage, our community will engage in a processional from one end of Fayetteville Street down to the main stage. So it's going to be a community affair. We're bringing in all people, parents, children, the community. So we're going to be enriched with so much talent and so much energy during this processional starting Saturday at 11:30 a.m. We have a tutorial for those who want to engage in learning more about the dances and the processional and the rituals behind the African-American tradition. So come out a little early, about 10 o'clock, if you want to learn some of those moves, and be ready to engage and to celebrate down Fayetteville Street Saturday morning.
Just a wonderful way to celebrate community. You mentioned the inaugural event 14 years ago when it had 15,000 attendees. It has really grown over the years and evolved in the years, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And it's the power of relationships and partnerships. So connecting and reaching and growing and pulling in, ensuring that our community is at the table, that partners, our community, those who love the festival are at the table and able to share the joy. We have family reunions taking place this weekend. So it's expanded. People from all over the U.S. will be there and in the mix. Just a beautiful, beautiful way to celebrate our culture.
And Dr. Beth A., I know music is also a huge draw. There's a special event tonight to help kick off the festival.
Absolutely. A treat in store. Our kickoff event, in collaboration with the North Carolina Museum of Art, the legendary Gladys Knight. Oh, my goodness. And featuring Eric Benet. So we have a lot in store. Just a beautiful way to kick off the weekend. It's going to be a fire starter for sure. So join us tonight, 7:30 p.m. at the North Carolina Museum of Art.
The legendary Gladys Knight going to be here. That's phenomenal. The African-American Cultural Festival happening this weekend. By the way, Ken, Gerald, Chris, Julian, and Aaron from WRL will all be emceeing there. Thank you so much, Dr. Laura Bethay. We appreciate you and good luck with the festival.
We look forward to seeing you there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Put that on the out and about list for this weekend, which has lots to offer. And Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center, we should have the weather to go right along with all of it.
You just got to get outside this weekend some. I mean, it's going to be beautiful all through the weekend. We've got sunny and dry Labor Day weekend weather. You know, today with the low humidity, the first day of September, temperatures in the 70s at lunchtime. It's just one of those days where if you have a hammock outside, utilize it. I wish I was laying in a hammock right now. Plenty of sunshine in Durham. They've got a game tonight out at the DBAT. That's another great way to be outside this weekend, enjoying the beautiful weather. 78 degrees at Dix Park in Raleigh and 78 in Fayetteville as well with a bright blue sky. If you're headed out to the Bulls game tonight, first pitch is 6:35. If you get there at 6 o'clock, it'll be around 78 degrees, 74 at 7, and by 8 o'clock, 70 degrees. Beautiful weather tonight and some great football weather this weekend. We had your Football Friday forecast in the last half hour, but college football is back as well. Of course, NC State won last night. We've got Winston-Salem State playing at NC Central on Saturday. Should have some really great weather for that game, 81 degrees for a 4 o'clock kickoff, and by 8 o'clock temperatures should be in the mid 70s. Duke back at home on Monday as well. UNC playing away on Saturday. So football is back and we finally have some football weather to go along with it. Your jet stream pattern. Let's talk about that through the weekend. We continue to see our upper level flow pretty much due east, and that's what's pushing Idalia out to sea due east right now, and we have just beautiful weather behind it. We are going to watch a big ridge of high pressure, though, that's building in over the south, especially centered over Texas tomorrow. That begins to shift east over the weekend, and that's what's going to be driving up temperatures into next week. We see that big change by Labor Day, 95 in Raleigh, 94 in Rocky Mount, and we should be in the 90s for Wilmington as well. Can't rule out a stray shower or storm at the coast Labor Day. That chance only about 20% right now. Worth mentioning, though, it's even pretty warm in the mountains. 84 in Boone on Monday, 90 degrees in Asheville. The summer heat is sticking around, so don't get too used to this little taste of fall that we have out there today. Tomorrow should be beautiful, 84 feeling like right about 84, maybe a degree cooler with the wind. Sunday, 90 feeling like 92. So Sunday is kind of our transition day. By Monday, it's 95 for the high, a heat index nearing 100, and we should be back in the triple digit heat indices by next Tuesday. Let's take a look at your 7-day forecast. It's beautiful today and tomorrow. Sunday, 90 degrees, full sunshine expected. Monday, we stay sunny, but much hotter. As we get into the end of next week, just some isolated storm chances coming back. Our low temperatures will only be in the 70s, though. That's a sign the humidity is back. Tonight's low gets down to 58 degrees. So if you can, you may want to open up the windows tonight, let in some fresh air. Jeff and Renee.
Will do. Kat, thank you. Take a step back in time and enjoy the timeless taste of your favorite McDonald's meals, where you can be transported to the 80s, but only for a limited time. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. A trooper who shot and killed a murder suspect early this morning in Raleigh will be placed on administrative duty. Sky 5 flew over the scene this morning. You can clearly see bullet holes in the windshield and the side windows blown out. The shooting stemmed from an attempted traffic stop, which turned into a high-speed chase and shootout.
Cal, Stanford, and SMU will soon become part of the Atlantic Coast Conference. ACC Board of Directors voted today to expand the conference starting in July 2024. The league will now have 18 schools represented from coast to coast. The move will help the ACC boost revenue.
You and your child can get your blood tested for lead for free in Durham. It comes as the city deals with dangerous lead levels found at several parks. Tests are available to anyone between 6 months and 6 years old, as well as pregnant women. Testing is available at the Durham Health Department on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Today's the last day to step back in time at a McDonald's in Brooklyn. The restaurant is redecorated to look like it's in the year 1982. A photographer is also on hand taking pictures to give away Polaroids to the fans who visit the store. It's all part of the promotion for the new season of Marvel's Loki, which features time travel as a main plot point. Season 2 is set to debut on Disney Plus October 6th. Pho has become increasingly popular across the world, but how much are you willing to pay for the Vietnamese dish? A restaurant in Vietnam is charging $170 per bowl. For reference, a typical bowl you can get for a few bucks up to $12 to $15, pretty normal. This isn't your regular bowl of pho, though. This one is slow-cooked in broth for up to 48 hours, served with short ribs and high-end ingredients like Wagyu beef slices, foie gras, and shaved truffles. It's topped off with an edible gold leaf. Only 5 bowls are served daily. Enjoy.
My goodness, that's next level. Yeah. You might have heard of beer goggles. Well, a new study argues the beer goggle effect might be a hoax. The study found that alcohol gives people liquid courage, meaning they're more likely to approach someone they find attractive. The study had candidates pick 4 people they would interact with in the future. The result? Drunk participants were almost 2 times more likely to choose someone they find attractive. Gwyneth Paltrow says she's open to returning to the Marvel Comics universe. This after she caught some flack recently from her fans. Paltrow appeared in the role of Pepper Potts from 2008 until 2019. In a recent video, Paltrow playfully asked her fans to, quote, stop yelling at her. She said the writer stopped using her character because Iron Man died.
Pet of the day from the SPCA of Wake County. I want you to say hello to Meatloaf, a 2.5-year-old neutered male dog. Weighs 49 pounds. Meatloaf is happy-go-lucky. He would do anything for love. Just awesome with his family that he wants to spend time with. Good with other dogs. You can get more information at spcawake.org.
But he won't do that.
He won't do that.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Have a great, safe weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.